Welcome to Mental Health Success Stories with John Troutman. Here we provide a space for authentic conversations about real-world mental health challenges. We discuss mental health solutions with national industry leaders. We aim to reduce stigma and increase awareness around mental health issues. We will inspire you to take action and improve your own mental health. We will share and promote realistic mental health solutions that anyone can implement. And now here is our host of Mental Health Success Stories, John Troutman.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on today's podcast. As always, I am so excited to interview leaders in their industry that are willing to talk about a mental health challenge. We're hoping to tear down some of those barriers and those concerns that people have, that stigma that's out there in mental health. And I'm just so excited to kick off this podcast with a good friend of mine, Stacy Fry. Stacy is the Director of Communications with Alera Group, an independent national insurance and financial services firm created through the merger of like-minded, high-performing entrepreneurial companies across the United States. As many of us do, Stacy stumbled into the benefits industry by accident and has spent the last decade of her career working with employer groups across the country. Managing her love of writing with her industry knowledge has allowed her to develop a passion for employee-facing communications. It's been her mission to communicate the unique benefit strategies her clients put in place in an easily understood format from the CFO to the college intern. Stacy currently serves as the National Leadership Development Chair for NAHU, which just recently changed their name, and on the board of directors for United Cerebral Palsy of Central PA, as well as the treasurer for her local youth football organization. She is also a proud wife, mother of two, and avid football fan. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome everyone to Mrs. Stacy Fry. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm so honored to be here, John. I'm excited.
So am I. And again, I told you I might do this. So again, this is a discussion. So it's just between you and I here. No one else is watching. No pressure. But many people don't realize this, that several years ago, Stacy invited me just when we initially became strategic partners. I mean, it was just fresh. And she said, why don't you come out to one of our breakfasts? A lot of our clients and partners will be there. I know it's last minute, but if you can make it, you know, that'll be a wonderful thing. And she introduced me to Ryan Miller. And those of you who might know my story, I wouldn't be in this seat today or have half the success if it wasn't for Ryan Miller. But that all got started because of Stacy Fry taking the time to do that extra effort to make sure that I was included in an opportunity that may have been last minute. So I will always be very grateful for what you've done for me, both personally and professionally. You are a wonderful human being, not just an excellent professional. So I'm so honored to have you here today.
Well, I'm really happy to be a very small part of your story, which would have been a huge story with or without me, but maybe it just went a little bit faster because of me. No.
Yes, it was that extra boost. That was excellent. So if you don't mind, we're going to jump in here and just give us, you know, I read your bio, which is fantastic. Help our audience understand what are some things you're doing right now without, you know, I don't want you to give away, you know, secret company secrets or anything like that, but what are some things you're working on now to give us a good overview of what Stacy's doing right now?
Yeah. So you did give my bio. I've been with Alera. AIA is the firm that I'm with in Central PA for a little over 7 years in various positions, but most recently this communications position I took over just at the beginning of this year. And it's been a really great fit for me because I think so often as employee benefits consultants do, we get really excited to share our shiny new toys with finance leaders or HR professionals, and we get that buy-in from leadership. And then we kind of forget about the employees. And if there's no buy-in from the employees on these benefits, they're not doing any good. So that's where I come in. It's my job to communicate with employees about the value of their benefits, make sure they understand them, educate them throughout the year, not just open enrollment. So that's been my focus, working on a strategy and a plan for our clients to make sure that their benefits are being used the way they're meant to be. So it's been a really great passion of mine that I didn't know I had. And I just recently discovered, and I'm excited to produce that as I continue on in this role.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Now, many people may or may not know you're a Michigan Wolverine fan. That's we share this similarity. But what are some things to help the audience here get to know you personally? What are some things you'd like to let them be aware of?
So this may hurt me a little bit, but I actually went to Penn State. And when I met my husband, he was a Michigan fan, and I just like the colors better. So I switched to the maize and blue, and now we are big Michigan fans, also big professional football fans. I'm a New Orleans Saints fan, which you don't come across very often in Central PA, but I'm a proud member of the Houdat Nation. So football is a big part of our life. As you said, I'm a mom. I have an 11 and a 7-year-old. I think I've become a professional chauffeur over the past few years, driving them around. That takes up a lot of my time. And just, you know, travel, love to travel. We have a place in New Orleans. We spend a lot of time there. So that's kind of what takes up my time when I'm not doing the job I'm paid for.
Yeah. And you're also helping, you're volunteering in the activities that they do, right? You serve on a board there or something like that as well, right?
I do. So I'm the treasurer of the Cumberland Valley Youth Midget Football, which is a very large organization here. So I kind of handle all of their money. And my husband always makes the joke at our board meetings, because I'm very stingy at the board meetings about where we spend our money. And he always makes the joke that, why is it so easy for me to spend our money, but I really put a lockdown on the football money. So I guess it's where your priorities are.
It's all about the kids, right? It's all about the kids. Yeah.
You're right.
I have two boys. They both played football. So I understand that all the way through when they were could barely put on a helmet and the copious hours involved. I don't regret any of those experiences or that time invested. So good for you.
Yeah. Thank you. My good son is, he's 7. He's a Smurf, which is the lowest level of football. And we, their helmets on legs. Like that's what they are at this point, but they'll grow.
Well, that's excellent. You know, one of the things we want to do on this program is just allow the audience to hear a real story. You know, many people oftentimes think that when it comes to mental health, they have to be labeled with some fancy word or be given some terrible description of their circumstance to say that they have a mental health challenge. And that's not the case. I mean, truth be told, we all go through mental health challenges, whether or not it has a name, things in business, things in life can impact our mental health. So I really appreciate you being here today. So my next question is really one that's going to transition into that space. I know you've gone through a wide range of experiences of business and life, but what is one story you'd like to share with us that impacted your mental health?
Yeah, so I told you nothing is off the table in this conversation. I'm an open book, and my daughter is 11 years old, and she was my oldest. And when I was delivering her, I had a very, very traumatic childbirth with her. And you hear that a lot, right? You hear, I have an emergency C-section or this or that, but mine was serious. It was life or death for one of us in that moment. And we had a great team of doctors, and I had an emergency C-section where I was put to sleep. So the moment that she was born, I did not hear her first cry. I didn't get to hold her for hours. And when you come out of that, and I had a long surgery after the C-section. So when I came out of that, I was on many kinds of drugs. And I don't remember the first 2 days really of her life. And that's my first child. And to this day, it makes me really sad that I didn't hear that first cry. So I remember the nurse calling me once I had been home for about a week and doing kind of the postpartum checkup that they do after a woman delivers baby. And one of the, you know, after she's done with her question, she says, is there anything you want to say? And I said, you know, I think about how I didn't hear that first cry, and it makes me really sad. And I'll never forget. She said, you'll hear her cry plenty of times. Don't worry about it. And I was like, wow. Okay, this is a nurse. Your bedside manner is less than. And I just thought, okay, this must be normal. I'm just going to get over it. But I remember those first few weeks, even months of her life, just feeling really detached from her. And anytime my mom wanted to babysit, I was happy to leave. I didn't have that connection. And I thought, again, that this was very normal. No one seemed to be concerned that I wasn't bonding with my baby. So I assumed that this was fine. And I really struggled with that for a long time. And when I had my son 3 years later, normal birth, everything was fine. I bonded with him instantly. I couldn't leave his side. I just had this strong connection with him. And it was then that I realized something wasn't right the first time, that birth was not a normal birth. That was not a normal experience. I should have obtained some kind of care and I didn't. And thank God, everything was fine, right? You hear horror stories all the time about women who are struggling with postpartum and they don't get the help. And I didn't get the help because I didn't think I needed it. Mm. And I look back now and realize I really should have obtained some kind of help at that time, because I went through a year plus long struggle of just not bonding with my child, which in the moment I thought was normal. And now that I had two, I realize there were some struggles going on there that I probably should have sought help with.
Now, if I may go back and ask another question as follow up here, were you aware that you were going, you know, what was going to happen, that you were going to be put under? I mean, were you at a place where you were already under, then they had to make that decision? And I asked that, we went through that with our first child, our daughter, that was birth. And I was spoken to by the doctor saying it's life or death. And these were our options.
Yeah.
And in my mind, it really wasn't an option. So I'm just curious, were you even aware of what was going on, right?
So I was very much awake in the delivery portion. And so we had what's called a shoulder dystocia, where her shoulder was stuck. She just wasn't going to come out. And I remember they decided to take me for a C-section, and we are running. Well, I'm not running. I'm being pushed down the hall to the OR, and the nurse looking me in the eye. And at that point I was very calm. And I remember her looking me in the eye saying, "You need to remain calm. This is a life and death situation for you and your baby." And I was like, well, I was calm until you said that. And then I kind of started having a panic attack, but they wheeled me into the OR at 8:10, put me to sleep, and she was delivered by 8:13. So in three minutes, they really worked some magic there. So I wasn't aware of anything until that last 3 minutes, which might've been for the better, right? Cause I didn't have time to think about it. It was just kind of, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, those things, you know, you feel like you're rushed into a situation, you don't really have time to really process. And even that I ask that because a lot of times that can be a situation. And again, I'm only speaking for myself, taking that time to really process that traumatic life experience.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned it took you, you know, about a year or so, you know, after the birth.
Yeah. Just to kind of realize that wasn't normal, and that I had some feelings that I was lucky to manage on my own, but probably could have used some help getting through that a little bit sooner, because now I look back and not that I wasted the first year of her life, but I think there's some moments that I missed with the first year because I just didn't have that attachment with her, which makes me sad.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a powerful story. And I guess, you know, my next question is, what did you do? You know, what did you do to transition from that? I mean, good for you for being self-aware to get to that point to say, you know what, something's not right here. Not everybody can do that, but good for you. What steps did you take to try to get some help?
So I think at that point I had kind of come to terms with it, but what it did do was change the way I approach situations going forward. You know, I love therapy. I think everyone should go to therapy, you know, when you're healthy or when you're not healthy. I really believe it's important to have someone to talk to who's an outsider. I've been in therapy with my family as a child. My husband and I have gone to marriage counseling. I mean, I really think it's an important thing. So it's something that I seek help with often, just, you know, not on a regular basis, but whenever something comes up, I don't hesitate any longer to reach out. And this isn't an ad for you, but we have a great EAP, and we really advocate for our employees to use those. Because people forget about them, but it's such a great resource for people to have. And I've used mine frequently, and I hope you don't think I'm hijacking your podcast here, but I know you asked for one story, but I think a good example just happened this past week.
Yeah.
You know, in our pre-talk, you said, how was my fourth? And on the 4th of July, my family and I were in downtown Harrisburg to see the fireworks show. And it's on a river. It's along Front Street, for those of you who aren't from here. And I was just about to place an order for ice cream when we saw a stampede of people running toward us because someone had yelled gun. And I had my two young children with us, and I grabbed their hands and we ran as fast as we could to get back to our car. Everybody was crying, screaming, yelling, falling down. It was unlike anything I have ever, nor do I hope to ever experience again. And the fear on my children's faces is something I will never forget. And they seem very resilient about it. The Tuesday after, I said to my daughter, "Are you okay? What do you mean? Well, last night was kind of scary." "Well, what do you mean last night?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, she's like over it, I guess." Whereas every time I close my eyes, I see it and I hear the screams. And this week has been difficult. And I have reached out already to have an appointment with a provider because I know that this is something that's going to haunt me for a while. So, long answer to your question, I just take the next step more proactively. I don't wait. I just try and talk to somebody just to kind of clear my head, get my thoughts out about it, verbalize it, get an outside perspective, and not move on, but kind of, you know, overcome.
Excellent. And that's a great word choice there of overcoming. And, you know, that's the hard part for all of us going through challenging times. We can either play the victim or we can play the victor. Right. And that can be very challenging for people. And you're talking about a life-threatening situation, really, in both stories that you spoke of. I'm just wondering, looking back on the one where the birth of, you know, you talked about that, all that you went through, is there anything, and I say this because, you know, maybe people who are watching this or listening to this, maybe they won't experience identically or something really close, but the whole concept of potentially losing someone, is the reality in both of your stories. Mm-hmm. So for those people who've gone through that type of event, maybe it could be a car accident or some other type of traumatic event. What's something that you would say to them? You know, looking back, I wish I could have done, or I wish I would have done this. That might have been a little bit more helpful, maybe from a time standpoint or something else. Is there anything at all, you know, as you reflect on the whole birth time?
Yeah. So I think two things, and they don't apply to everybody. The first thing is, and you mentioned it yourself, be the victim or the victor. You have to be your own advocate. And it's easy for me to look back now and say, I had a problem, I should have reached out. And now going forward, I know what to do. Sometimes you're so deep in that hole, you can't be your own advocate. You can't get out of your own way. I've struggled with anxiety and depression my whole life. I say many times, I have highs and lows. And when I'm in a low, sometimes it's really hard for me to get out of bed, let alone call a mental health provider. So if you can, when you can, when you recognize it, if it's not too late, be your own advocate and seek help from whatever avenue that is for you, whether it's, you know, using an EAP, if you have a regular therapist, if it's a very close friend, whatever it is. If you can't get in that out of that hole or out of your own way, I just really encourage you, and I said this before, to verbalize it to somebody that you trust. In this past week, the fact that my husband went through it with me, every night we talk about it for 5-7 minutes. It's just a short conversation, but just talking about it, making our feelings real by saying them out loud, has been a tremendous help. So even if you can't take that step of seeing a professional, find someone that you trust and that will be your sounding board to just talk. Say the same thing over and over if you have to. Just get it out. We can't, and I'm my own worst enemy at this piece of advice. We can't do it all alone, okay? I have to tell myself that all the time. Sometimes you have to have someone to help reach down and pull you out of your hole. And you just have to find that person.
Excellent. You know, you brought up some good points there, and I'm going to, you know, make that transition to your more recent incident, if you will. Just being able to learn from life's experience. You know, those people who are listening, those who are watching today, these are excellent words of wisdom. You know, life doesn't just merely happen. They're gifts. They really are gifts, even though they're challenging moments. They can either be obstacles or opportunity. So I want to congratulate you, Stacy, for really seeing that moving forward. I mean, I know it's taken time and it's taken healing and some processing, but you're able to impact not just your own life, but the life of your husband and the life of your children. And that's huge. Not everybody makes those choices. Not everybody makes that transition to leverage those experiences. So again, I just ask you, and maybe there isn't, but do you have anything from this recent experience that you say, you know what, we need to do this, or that or maybe, you know, we really could have or should have done that, or here's some things that we're going to do looking back on our past. I just want to give you that opportunity to speak to that as well.
Yeah. So I think we're still kind of working through it. I had a great conversation with a colleague the other day who went through a traumatic experience and with her children. And she said, you know, for the first 2 years, they were fine. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, they started to manifest some behaviors of anxiety from their traumatic incident. So it may not hit your kids right away, but be cognizant of their feelings and the fact that it may be a couple months. It may be the next time we're watching fireworks. It may be the next time we're ordering ice cream. Like, who knows what's going to trigger it? So I thought that was really great advice from her, to just not think because the past 2 days they were like, it's fine, we're fine, can we have a snack? You know, like normal kid conversation, that they're fine. They very well may not be fine. So I think, and you alluded to this too, my child was born 11 years ago. It took me 11 years to kind of figure out how to handle my own mental health. It didn't happen overnight. There have been many instances in between where I probably didn't take the right mental health steps necessary. Like eating a full bag of chips is probably not a great mental health solution, but sometimes that's been my remedy. So I think you just have to look at the things that have worked for you in the past and give yourself some grace. Right? Like we all went through a traumatic experience. It wasn't just my children. It was myself and my husband. So, you know, all of that said, I really think just taking it day by day and realizing there's not going to be one solution that's going to fit for me or my daughter or my son, and just taking it day by day and treating them as, you know, individual humans with different needs is just the way we're going to have to proceed.
Again, I so appreciate you taking time and sharing both of these stories. And I was not even aware that happened. And I live in Harrisburg. So that's unbelievable and a very powerful story in both accounts. As we begin to wrap things up here, you know, for anyone who's listening, watching, who's just experienced a potential loss of life of a loved one, maybe it was themselves. If you had the opportunity to speak to them directly, give them one bit of advice, what might you say to them now, really in light of both of these experiences, what might you say to them to hopefully inspire or encourage them to take action?
Ooh, that's a big ask. I think the biggest piece of advice that I can give is to take the time to listen to yourself, to really think about what your needs are in that moment. And they're going to be different day to day. You know, what I remember AP psychology in 11th grade with the signs of grief, DABDA, denial, anger, bargaining, depression. Like I remember all of that. And I think sometimes we forget that we are going to experience those different stages. You're going to deny it. You're going to be angry. You're going to need to lay in your bed under the covers and have a really good cry. And that's okay. I spoke to a friend recently who's going through something and she was having a down day and she just wanted to lay on the couch. And I said, take it, take your day. But tomorrow we get back up and we go back to kicking ass. Like take your day and then, you know, move on. So take what you need in this moment, but don't let it govern how you live the rest of your life.
Excellent. Very, very wise and challenging for us to do, but so helpful. I really appreciate you sharing that. For those who are joining us today, how could they reach out to you and contact you? Obviously you're on LinkedIn and doing a great job there. What's the best way for them to reach out to Stacy Fry?
Yeah. So LinkedIn is a great place. You can always message me there. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. You can always email me. My email is my name, which is there on the screen, stacy.fry@aleragroup.com. It's a pretty easy way to get in touch with me there. But I'm always happy to connect and I love expanding my network and just meeting great people like you. So happy to connect any way that's easy for other people.
Well, again, Stacy, thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast. You are a dear friend. I appreciate you, all that you're doing. And I so appreciate you taking the time to talk with us here today.
Happy to do it. Thanks, John.
And to everyone watching, tune again next week. We're going to bring in another rock star who's totally crushing it in the industry, and they're going to share another story But friends, listen to what Stacy shared with us here today. Such powerful words and so challenging to do. We take that time to process and understand that it's okay to not be okay. Those are powerful words. And it is so important that we do that for our mental health. It's so important that you do that for your mental health, because when it all comes down to your mental health matters. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a great day.